We're still in the Christmas season, so I thought I would go ahead and sing a Christmas song. A ray of hope flickers in the sky. A tiny star lights the way on high. All across the land dawns a brand new morn. This comes to pass when a child is born. A silent wish sails the seven seas. The winds have changed, whispers in the breeze. And the walls of doubt crumble, tossed and torn. This comes to pass when a child is born. A rosy hue settles all around. You've got the feel that you're on solid ground. For a spell or two, no one seems forlorn. This comes to pass when a child is born. And all this is happening because a world is waiting, waiting for a child. Black and white, yellow, no one knows. But if a child could grow up and turn tears to laughter, hate to love, war to peace, everyone's a neighbor. Misery and suffering would cease. It's all a dream, an illusion now. It must come true sometime soon, somehow. All across the land dawns a brand new morn. This comes to pass when a child is born.
Oh, how beautiful. And what a nice introduction for our speaker of the day, the Reverend Barney Thomas. You know, he's somebody, he and Barbara came to our church for the first time last winter, I think, and we had no idea what gift they had for us. So, bless you.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Sometimes when I talk about metaphysical law, I feel like I'm selling refrigerators to the Eskimos. First, let me just comment on your miracle moment. I had this obnoxious Christmas tie that I used to wear to service back in Connecticut. It had a battery in it, so it actually would light up if you pushed on it. And about the second or third year that I'd worn this thing, I just wore it every Christmas service just for the fun of it. On the way in, I'm pressing the battery. Nothing's happening. It's been dead for 2 years now. And in the middle of the talk that day, what do you think starts flashing up and down the front of me? So, if you look outside, there's no line of people waiting to get in. Everybody who walked in this morning grabbed the handle on the church door and pulled on it. And we talk about miracle moments. How many of us can name all the muscles, the joints, the bones, the nerves that went into that? We can't even begin to name them. Then we have to sequence them, and then we have to make it quick and easy. We are so filled with intelligence. That in itself is a small miracle, and miracles will happen all the rest of the day because we'll move, speak, and do things that we take for granted, yet they're the reflections of an infinite intelligence. So I'd like you to just think about that for a moment. There's no line of people waiting outside. God didn't say, okay, I'm going to give intelligence to you this morning, but you, not so good. You've been nice. You've been naughty. Everybody walked in because that God doesn't play favorites. We all have that intelligence within us. And it was such a simple thing to do. We just thought, open the door, out went our hand, and we opened it. I'd like to talk about another manifestation. You used the word manifestation this morning, and I'm going to jump on it. This started a few years ago, actually about 40 years ago, in Durham. And it started in a Catholic convent. There was a woman there who had been in the order for about 10 or 11 years, and she decided that she wanted to serve her community by being a chiropractor. She didn't want to be a teacher anymore. And with a vow for poverty, this is what she did. She sat down every night and thought of herself in a chiropractic clinic in a white jacket, and she stayed with it a few minutes every night for 6 or 7 months. Following that, she drove up to her, I guess it would be the home community in Newburgh, New York, and there were a couple of chiropractors there who used to treat the nuns, and she had a visit with one of them. And this woman, she said to this woman, I've always wanted to become a chiropractor, and the reason for that is a chiropractor solved her near-terminal asthma when she was a child. So she said, I've always wanted to be a chiropractor, and Dr. Helen Pete said, I know the president of the college in New York, let me see what I can do. A few weeks later, her mother superior in the community got a call from the president of the college. He said, I understand you have a nun in your group who would like to become a chiropractor. I'd like to extend a full scholarship for 4.5 years, including books, to your the member of your community. If you haven't guessed it already, this is the chiropractor, the ex-nun, and the manifester. My question for you this morning is, what's the difference between using a picture to open the door and using a picture to manifest a career? Is there a difference? On Christmas Eve, we went to the chapel at Duke for the 11 o'clock service. And as someone who's in building, I've been looking around details of this church, even though I've been here how many times. I just love the details, and I look at the way things are built, and it's a magnificent chapel. It has these soaring spires. It's exquisite work. It was built in the 30s during the Great Depression. That chapel started off as an idea in someone's mind. I believe it was the person who donated the money for it, $2.5 million at that time. And he hired an architect to give his idea substance. And they in turn hired workers, and they built this magnificent building. Now, back to our original example, what's the difference between opening the door, manifesting a career, manifesting a building? It's the same process. Our job is to be Father God consciousness, if you wish. We use spirit to give our thoughts form, and the child is the result. And it's possible to create amazing, amazing things. Now, this is why I feel like I'm selling refrigerators to the Eskimos, because we all do it. What I'm going to encourage this morning is that we lift our sights, that we realize that so much is possible. If we have a dream that's been on the back burner because we've been telling ourselves, oh, I can't do that. Please think about the ex-nun who's sitting here, who, with a vow of poverty, manifested a beautiful career. It is possible. And the best way to do it is joyfully. The best way to make it not happen is to turn it into hard work. How to do it joyfully? When I was a student at the University of Kansas, I decided that if I could get a certain grade point average, I could get a scholarship. And I failed to read the fine print, and I'm so glad I didn't, because it was for Kansas residents only. I wasn't a Kansas resident. So I used to sit down at night, in the morning at night, and before I would start to study, I would think, I'm going to get a certain grade point average, 3.4 as it turned out. 10 minutes morning, 10 minutes evening, and my last 2 weeks of exams, I don't know where I got the energy for it, but I did three all-nighters in that time, and I hit my 3.4, and at that point, I read the student manual a little more carefully and found out that it wasn't going to do me any good. It did me a world of good, and I was disappointed at that time, but looking back on it, it was the best misreading I could have possibly done. So then I got arrogant. I said, okay, if I can get a 3.4, I can get a 4.0. I was doing summer school and taking the dreaded Western Civ exam. It was the best $5 I ever spent, because they had an option. You can take the exam, do the studying yourself, 4 credits, $5 for the exam. Or you could go to the seminar, you could do the readings and do the seminars and so on. I didn't have any money, so $5 was very appealing. And again, I thought every morning, the answers are going to leap through my brain, down my arm on this exam, and I'm going to open the envelope, and it's going to say 4.0. I was working a job as a drywall contractor. I had about a half the reading done a week before the exam. He laid me off. There was no more work. I took, at another point in the semester, I took a reading course, and it turned out the instructor was a Western Civ teacher, and she had a whole armful of back exams. So now it's getting interesting. Took the exam on a Saturday morning and waited, and sure enough, opened up the envelope, and there it was, 2 A's, 4.0, which was what I was working so diligently to achieve. I did it happily, joyfully. All I could imagine was my great happiness opening up this piece of paper. And that's the way to manifest. Happily, joyfully, thankfully. If we can take what it is we want to manifest, imagine having it, or having a trusted friend walk up to us and say, congratulations, this is terrific. You're there. It's no more difficult than that. We make it difficult, but it really isn't. There's another aspect to this, too, manifesting what we want. We can obviously do it in a negative fashion and manifest something that's not going to be to our upliftment. When we manifest our true desires, I believe it opens the universe for us. Now, the follow-up to Barbara's story is that when she completed her education, she was told by the new Mother Superior that she was a liability to the community and she could not practice, and she had a choice, either teach science in one of the schools or she could work in the infirmary. And of course, without a drug license or the medical training that's required, it would have meant, and I don't know what the female, an orderly job, but, and that's not why she went to school. At that point, she decided she'd had enough of the community. Thank heavens. In my case, after doing all my academic work, I had 3 years of college in, I decided I've really gotten out of college what I need to get out of it, and I went to truck driving school and got a job driving a tractor trailer. As I left college, I said, this is it for academics. I've had it with formal education. Never again. And a funny thing happened while I was driving this tractor trailer. I stopped in to see a friend of mine in Pennsylvania, and long story short, he sent me to this church in New Jersey a year after I had sworn I would never be involved in formal education again. I was in divinity school and chiropractic school both. So the other aspect I want to say is that when we manifest our true desires, the universe opens to us and we open to the universe. And the universe will find our place and we will find our place. But the key there is doing what's truly important to us. Not what our parents want, not what we think we should be doing, but what we truly want to do. And I truly did want to learn to drive a truck because it was just something I wanted to do. And it one thing led to another. So we are all manifestors. We're all people who open doors. And if you would, I'd like you to close your eyes just for a moment. Lift your chin just slightly. And I'd like to pray in this way, Infinite Spirit, whatever name we call you, we give thanks for the presence in our lives. With thanks, we acknowledge your presence and acknowledge the infinite possibilities before us. We thank you for the next year, for our accumulated wisdom and learning and manifestation. Amen. God bless you all.